From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
We ain't really worried about what the people say. We just gonna keep going.
Can't do it. Gotta leave, man. It's the only hope.
And they're the reason I can't talk.
Little man, bye, little man.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Less than an hour away from coverage of the national title game, LSU and Clemson will have our picks. We'll tell you what one poll says about the game. Overwhelmingly, the experts around Las Vegas on one side. Interesting. Ari's here. It's Cofield. Adam Candy as well. Maybe we should do a big seven. A couple of pressing issues we have to follow up on. One, the notion that the Knights were here too long. I've never heard anything like that. The homestand was too long. And if that's the case, then I never, ever want to hear about struggles on the road because a road trip is too long. I'm serious. I've been doing this a long time. I've never heard a narrative coming out. I don't know where it's coming from. Maybe it's all media-driven. Although I think some players behind the scenes talked about it, that maybe some folks got a little too comfy. It's a weird one. That's a weird excuse.
It's a poor excuse, quite honestly. Baseball teams, when they get a 10-12 game homestand, everybody says, well, you better get fat on that one. No one ever says, oh, well, we had too many games where we got last licks in the ninth inning. I don't really go with it, especially for this team. All we've talked about for 2.5 years is the great home ice advantage that the fans at T-Mobile provide. And
now
you know what?
Now it's a bad thing. Now they're getting off to slow starts, but I guess it's only if they're here for 4 games or 3. If it has to go to 6 or 7, then that's a bad thing on a homestand. Come on. The other one, real quick, I didn't put this in the rundown, but I'm just going to say, and maybe you can tweet out the video, just definitely put out NSFW. Antonio Brown, I'm done. And the NFL should be done. He's still not cleared. There's still no investigation that's complete on the sexual allegations. This is why he's an idiot. He thought it was cool to berate some police officers simply doing their job, some sort of, you know, child issue with an ex. And he's out there. He's got himself on video for like 3.5 minutes calling these local police every name possible. I'll tell you, if he gets back into the NFL, you guys are pissed off about Colin Kaepernick being anti-law enforcement. Like, there are some legit things that Kaepernick is protesting and has talked about. Just arbitrarily berating police on the street, calling them names, bitch this, bitch that. The NFL, that they should be, you know, they're worried about the message that's sent and PR hits. That's freaking embarrassing. And I'm telling you, there's something wrong with him. He's got to go and get diagnosed. There is something wrong with him. He needs to be on medication. That is inexcusable.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big 5 at 4. Number 5.
My God, I'm so jealous of the people in and around New Orleans in the state of Louisiana who get to tailgate, who got to celebrate the lead up party tonight after this national title game. We can say this one a million times. There's about 7 spots around the country that should host every Super Bowl and national title game, and you bet your ass we're one of them. And it's coming soon. It's still going to take too long. But, man, someone got me going yesterday with New Orleans being the site. There was a tailgate with just a giant... No, it's actually, you know what it was? It was a media tweet at an event. There was a giant vat of, like, it was like 20 pounds of jambalaya in some kind of massive chafing dish. And then someone fired back. They're like, look at this. I'd never even thought of this. Someone had like a full-size cooler, like a drink cooler, and it was just all jambalaya. I'm like, my God, that looks awesome. We can do it here. I don't know why I'm acting like it only, you know, can only happen in New Orleans. We're doing it at UNLV or Raiders games. That's my new thing now. Cooler of jambalaya.
filled with shrimp cocktail. 99-cent shrimp cocktail and coolers for everyone at a Vegas tailgate.
Yeah, by the way, if you're going to be a pansy about food temperature and food safety, get out of here.
Oh, eat, please. Eat no. Like a, eat then like don't
a,
tailgate.
Eat like a pig. Eat lukewarm food. Eat old food. Train yourself like me, and then you can have jambalaya and kind of old shrimp in a cooler. It works.
Old shrimp in a cooler. If there's ever a tailgate motto for Vegas, that's it right there. My co-host on another show and in another place is an LSU grad and has been on Bourbon Street since very early this morning. And he sent me the picture of himself and the husbands and wives. There are like 20 of them on a party bus right now. And he filed his pregame report via Twitter about 2 or 3 hours ago and said, here's what I can tell you. LSU fans will be well lubricated tonight. Look out, baby.
Maybe that's going to be a key to our picks in just a little bit. All right, let's move on.
Number four.
We'll get that picture. I'm not sure if it's appetizing to most people, but I found the cooler of jambalaya just freaking awesome. Man, I'll say the best piece of old audio video I saw this weekend, and we should have included it in the rundown, but we'll have to hit on it later in the week, was Courtney Love making a joke at an award show 15 years ago about what a creep and scumbag Harvey Weinstein was, and you're like, whoa, how did this not get out? Now, that was a positive. The retweeting of AJ Hinch on October 17th, scoffing and laughing and pulling the best Lance Armstrong he could about the cheating allegations is must-watch video. It's must-listen-to video. What an arrogant horse's ass. Now, if you missed it, AJ Hinch was suspended for a year today by Major League Baseball for the cheating scandal with the Astros. The GM was suspended for a year for that same cheating scandal. The Astros were fined $5 million. They lose multiple draft picks. The owner, Jim Crane, followed that up with, you know what? There's no suspension. They're fired. They're both fired. Listen to AJ Hinch go full, I'm insulted at these accusations.
Man, I'm glad you asked that question. And I thought it would come up today. And it's, you know, we talked about this the other day. And in reality, it's a joke. But, you know, Major League Baseball does a lot to ensure the fairness of the game.
It's a joke. The allegations and the cheating scandal talk in mid-October, it was a joke. That was AJ Hinch. That's what he had. I'm so glad you asked that. So I could wag my proverbial finger right in your face. What did you think when you first saw that? Today, the replay.
When I saw it today, I thought about a friend of mine who works in minor league baseball who's told me for years that AJ Hinch is that guy who always has to prove he's smarter than you. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, he's a little smarter. He wants to look down on you, tell you what he knows, tell you just how he gets it in a way that you don't. And all I could think about listening to all of this audio that we're about to get was, maybe you're not the smartest guy in the room.
You know, when I get contacted about some questions about whistling, it made me laugh. Because it's ridiculous. And had I known that it would take something like that to set off the Yankees or any other team, we would have practiced it in spring training. And we would have got, because it apparently works when it doesn't happen.
It apparently works when it doesn't happen. So he's being a smartass there at the end. What did he mean he would practice it? Practice, like whistle so it doesn't annoy people? Practice more so the cheating works better? Was that kind of the whole line there? Like, oh, I didn't know we were cheating. I guess we should have been better at it.
I think the whole line is,
you won the World Series!
If it's a skill, then we should have been working on that skill. Yeah. We should have been getting better at it. Why?
Full sarcasm, smart-ass mode. And now just smashed by Major League Baseball. And what's often true in these cases, especially now when AJ Hinch looks back on this and goes, you know what? I really didn't want to do this, but I went along with it. I was pissed. I objected to it. He's been smashed by it. What's often worse than the original crime is the cover-up and the lying and the arrogance and the sarcasm and the lecturing.
The problem that I have is when other people take shots at us outside this competition. You know, when you guys ask me this question, my you know, my face, my name is by my quotes, my opinions, my reaction is all for you guys to tweet out and put on the broadcast. When we have people that are unnamed, or you guys have sources that are,
yeah, sources that are not named, not putting their names on it, that again reeks of a lecture to the media, who frankly are just doing their jobs. By the way, let's go back to a theme that we had to discuss here in Las Vegas for like 10 days. Many of you folks don't understand the role of the media. That ultimately, it's there to cover stories, but it can really serve as an objective source of checking and balancing. And when managers do that and they laugh at questions and they're condescending, they're basically trying to set up a situation where they're not asked questions, where they're not pushed on anything. And this is how stuff like this gets through. So I know people get mad when the questions aren't asked nicely to the subjects that are being covered, but this is something that can happen. This guy is lying right to the media's face. More importantly, he's lying to the face of Major League Baseball and fans all around the country who root for Major League Baseball, follow Major League Baseball. Now, maybe Astros fans were fine with that at the time. But subjects, and this is really in everything that the media covers, will often lie right to the media's face, right to the public's face.
You know what? The lying isn't the part that bothers me. It's how smug he was about it. Yeah. He is, along with Alex Cora, who, thank the sweet baby Jesus above, is about to get his comeuppance too. They are the two most smug individuals in all of Major League Baseball. They need to show you that they're better than you. They need to show you that they're smarter than you. They need to show you that they reinvented the damn wheel. Well, you know what you did? You just found a stupid way to get caught on something that provides the most marginal of advantages. Congratulations. I hope you both can hug each other and cry in each other's arms when you're both sitting on the damn sidelines this year because you both thought you could beat the system and you both are so damn smug about it that you got caught and now everybody will laugh at you. And beyond that, who's going to hire these guys? Really, who's bringing these guys back into Major League Baseball once their suspensions are over? The answer is probably absolutely no one.
Number three.
We're going to flip stories because it flows better. Let's talk about another guy who will often lecture people but can't keep himself out of trouble. And that's Julian Edelman, who is a convicted PED user in the National Football League. What exactly happened over the weekend? Do we know? He was arrested in Beverly Hills, some sort of vandalism. We hear about jumping on a car. You know, as Ray Lewis said a few years back when the NFL was about to see the players sidelined because of contract talks. And Ray Lewis, I'll paraphrase, kind of warned everyone, like, it can get real dangerous for the players in the offseason. Like, basically, they don't know how to control themselves. Like, okay, Ray, well, that's maybe you based on your background, and maybe it's Julian Edelman. Now, I don't know how serious this crime is, but come on. Julian Edelman going full Mitch Blood Green! Jumping on a car, remember that thug? Mitch Blood Green? Remember him? Well, we've got another thug in Julian Edelman. You think this is actually what? A sign that the Patriots dynasty is breaking up? That this guy's lost his mind not playing in the postseason?
That's just it. Julian Edelman doesn't know what to do with himself right now. He's used to being on the field under Belichick's thumb right now. And what is he doing instead? Jumping on the hood of cars in Beverly Hills? By the way, does this story make any sense as it's been reported? I've searched the interwebs over and over again over the last 12 hours or so trying to find some further detail about this, and all I found were pictures of him hanging out in Beverly Hills with Danny Amendola, which, by the way, I'm glad to see that the Patriot wide white receiver dynasty is kept intact. I'm just glad to know. I'm assuming that Wes Welker was the one taking the picture, and that's why they weren't able to get him in the frame. Yeah, clearly that the... it's almost over for Julian Edelman and the Patriots because they're wilding out.
Clearly, I'm taking a little liberty with the word Thug. We had much discussion last week on the word thug and how John Beilein got himself in hot water, and often the connotation, well, it's connected to African-American athletes, and there's a certain connotation when thug is used that way. Ari actually expressed off the air, and then it made it to Twitter, that there's a guy on Fox Sports Las Vegas who uses the word thug all the time. We'll tie it to LeBron James. Now, I think there was a case of mistaken identity, because when I tweeted out to Ari, I said, hey, which Fox Sports Las Vegas show uses the word thug all the time? It bothers you immensely, correct? Hashtag drama in the LBC, right? You never answered. So we never found out. So then all of a sudden, JT the Brick is all mad at you now. He retweeted and said, I love the word thug. I use it all the time, on and off the air. Thug has nothing to do with race. Disagree. It describes a guy who intimidates, injures, threatens other. A thug is also a bully and a punk. Only problem is you weren't talking about Mr. Brick. You were talking about who? A weekend host, Tom Barton?
That'd be correct. I didn't realize there was more than one person that so passionately loved to use thug over there.
Well, like I said last week, it's more about when the word is used. There are certain catchphrases that are used with certain athletes. I mean, you know, I'm sure if you're a fan of specific white players, it should wear on you when, you know, they're described as heady and gutty and gritty and hardworking. And I don't know. There are plenty of white athletes who are actually great athletically and might be morons. Should they be labeled the same way? Gritty, hardworking, overcome their limitations and liabilities.
Faster than he looks.
Yeah, well,
right?
Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen got that from Randy Moss. Randy Moss went, he's like, I never expected this guy to be that fast. Okay.
Remember when Jason Sehorn was like the only white cornerback in the NFL? How can he do it? Yeah, I mean, we use the same adjectives all the time. It's become a joke. I mean, look at baseball. With his own team, Brett Gardner for the Yankees is called Gritty Gutty Brett Gardner everywhere he goes.
I don't know. He looks like big, strong Brett Gardner now, and I don't know how he got so strong. All right, top two stories.
Number two.
Let's talk about a guy who is a role model, not a thug. Beast mode. Marshawn Lynch. This was dynamite. We're going to get to what happened with Seattle and the Packers here in a second, but this was Marshawn unplugged after the game. They're trying to ask him questions specifically about the game, and all of a sudden he's like, you know what? I got a message for the younger guys who play in the National Football League.
I say like this, though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes, you feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me? So if it was me, or if I had an opportunity to let these little young sahabs know something, I say take care of y'all money, African, because that shit don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the fuck you want to. So I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, go ahead and take care of yourself.
It's a great message, right? There is no reason for NFL players, especially those who make it beyond the average three-year career, to not have money for most of their remaining existence.
Marshawn Lynch certainly has diversified his bonds, hasn't he? Got his own clothing line. He's got other interests that are outside of football.
You think he got paid by Skittles?
Do you think he should have gotten paid by Skittles? Absolutely, yes. And he did.
Yeah. I like it, though. Chicken?
Boy, do I want a Twitter poll on this one. We got to get a poll going on.
Word of the week last week, chicken. Thug. Actually, word of the year on this show was chicken, but I don't think we ever referenced money and cash and assets as chicken.
Oh, there goes the poll.
Is that going to throw everything out the window when we start talking about these chicken sandwiches again and big chicken?
bet your Popeye's money? Not talking about your Popeye's money sandwich? Doesn't really sound the same, does it?
Yeah, well, I hope athletes across the board in all sports listen to Marshawn Lynch, because he sounds like he's doing okay. Because I was hoping his return wasn't about money. It sounds like it wasn't. Because that would suck if you have to kind of, I was going to say limp back into the NFL. He looked fine. And maybe he plays next year. Maybe there'll be a spot for Marshawn Lynch next year. Number one.
Number one.
Seahawks. Should they be in the NFC Championship game?
Only if they played better yesterday.
Well, they had the opportunity down the stretch. if they had played better in the first half, you can't fall behind 21-3. But they got themselves back into the game, and then I don't understand what Pete Carroll was doing with the ball as the clock went down from, you know, 4.5 to 3.5 to inside of 3 minutes. I understand it's a 4th and 11 on your own 36. Aaron Rodgers is on the other side. With 2:41 left, you punt? It's a long 4th down conversion. What do you trust more, Russell Wilson with a chance to get a first down or giving the ball back to Aaron Rodgers? I didn't get that at all. They never got it back. Why'd they do that? Am I crazy?
Pete Carroll is one of those guys where the results don't show how bad the process is. And you've had Russell Wilson for years now, and you've won one Super Bowl with him. You should have won at least 2 Super Bowls. Thank you for not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1-yard line. But Pete Carroll is still a guy who wants to run. That's why they got behind so big in the first half. And still a guy who is married to old school decisions. And he said after the game that they had the numbers, that they looked at it and they thought about it. Well, you know what? What did Rocky Boyman say to us just a little while ago? Analytics versus manalytics, right? And I am an analytics devotee. I geek out on Pro Football Focus, Football Outsiders. I love all that stuff. But then the eye test says, you have not stopped Green Bay on 3rd down all day long. What makes you think when you needed to keep your season alive that you're going to be able to do it? You have to factor that in.
Yeah, he said, we thought about it. We thought our odds were so low. We had all clock. We had the time. We had all the opportunity to stop them to get the ball back. So we didn't want to put it all on one play. If it were 4th and 5 or 4th and 3, we went through the whole discussion, but it winds up being a sack, unfortunately, and he's talking about 3rd down. Do the analytics, when they have all the numbers, are they Aaron Rodgers-specific numbers? Are they Aaron Rodgers offense-specific numbers? Because I would love to see that. That, hey, whatever, Aaron Rodgers is going to be 27% more dangerous in terms of getting the first down and keeping the ball from us versus the average quarterback. Because that's what it feels like. I don't have the numbers, but that's what it feels like. Like, I'm not giving the ball back to prime Peyton Manning, prime Tom Brady, prime... They're not prime now, but... Brady's not prime now, but I'm not giving the ball back to prime Aaron Rodgers.
Well, good, because that means you didn't give him the ball back in 2015, because prime Aaron Rodgers hasn't been here for a while. That's not prime Aaron Rodgers that we saw yesterday, and it certainly wasn't against the Lions in Week 17, but it was enough, because Pete Carroll didn't look at his own defense, because his own defense would have shown him that there were blown coverages on both of those key first downs. It was shown on the broadcast. The guy had help to the inside, and he let the receiver, Devontae Adams, get to the outside for the key reception on that drive. Now, here's the flaw in Pete Carroll's logic. So you say, we don't want to put it all in one play. Do you believe that that defense that you thought was going to get the stop to get the ball back could have kept the Packers to a field goal? Because if you could have kept the Packers to a field goal, it's still a touchdown game. And it doesn't make any sense.
I actually think, you know, we'll build on this on the other side. I actually think if you had given the ball... You failed on 4th. They get the ball at the 36. I think the Packers actually play right into your hands.
The Big 5 at 4. Brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Oh, so jealous, so jealous. Wish I was in New Orleans to check out this championship game tonight. President Trump will be there, right?
Apparently so. Apparently the commander-in-chief is attending the game. Apparently he apparently needs a little boost, huh? What do you think? A little pick-me-up?
Why do you think he's going?
A little pick-me-up.
Not just a sports fan?
Yeah, really?
This is the third college football game he's been to?
Yeah, and one wasn't all that long ago, was it? Coincidentally, it just happens to be in New Orleans, Louisiana, with a couple of southern schools and a place that's been pretty friendly to him. I'm getting a little tired of any time that the man needs an ego boost, he shows up at a giant college football game for people to cheer for him.
So his recent history going to games, President Trump, November, went to Tuscaloosa to watch LSU beat Alabama. He got a nice greeting there.
Interesting. Where didn't he show up, Steve? Wasn't he supposed to go to the World Series? Wasn't he supposed to show up in Washington? Thought he was supposed to go to the game in Washington. He didn't show up at the game in Washington. I feel like they like him a little more in Alabama than they do in Washington, don't you? I don't think it was a guaranteed love fest.
Am I correcting you on this? He did go to a game at Nationals Park. Correct? He was there ahead of Game 5 in the World Series.
Ahead of Game 5.
Yeah.
Did he show his face publicly?
Well, my recollection is that he was there with 5 wounded vets, and then all of a sudden a chant came raining down. Lock him up. They showed him on the big screen, and there was a lock him up chant during the third inning. The chanting immediately stopped when they showed the service members, and then I guess resumed again right before the beginning of the fourth inning. So you think he's just going on the road just to potentially get a nice greeting from in some of the states where he's a little more supported?
Yes. I think that the concept is definitely to go to places like when the rallies are held to find people who are a little bit more supportive, which is fine. It's your prerogative.
In Louisiana, he got 58% of the vote.
It's your prerogative.
In the 2016 election.
This is not meant to be... We are not about to turn this into CNN here. It's more just that can we not have to deal with the what's the reaction going to be at one of our big football games, at one of our big sporting events, if the man is going to show up? It's just tiring. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it crossing over into a night like tonight where I just want to watch the game and not think about all this mess. And if I got the facts wrong on the World Series piece, then, well, it won't be the first time, will it?
Well, the point was he got a negative reaction there, and he's gone to 3 college football games since. And I don't know how big a deal they're going to make it on TV, if they're going to show him. I don't suppose he's getting interviewed. That's not going to happen.
No, and they showed it when he was at the LSU-Alabama game. I remember watching that during that game.
Kickoff in about a half an hour. We're going to hand it off to the national coverage. You got LSU, now a 4.5-point favorite in some spots. Woo! We'll get to the latest on the numbers. National championship on the line tonight, and we're going to give our picks as well.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
Yeah, all right. Clemson, LSU on the way. How about this number? 5.5 yesterday. Now there's 5s, 4.5s. There's even a 4. Line going down, down, down. Will there be all 4s by kickoff? This one's moving quickly. What the hell is happening, Candy? What's happening right now at the sports books?
What's happening is what normally happens, that all the money's going to come in at the end here. Everyone's going to save up and find what they think is their best value at the very end. And we had the 5.5 that hung out there for basically 2 weeks, right? Opened LSU 3.5 in some places. Quickly steamed up to 5.5. When I talked to Chuck Esposito from Sunset Station about a week ago, and I said, is it going to get to 6? He said, yeah, I think it's going to get to 6, and that's where the buyback's going to come. Well, we didn't even have to get there.
It's coming in a big way.
Because now the buyback is all on Clemson, 5.5 back to 4 in some spots. There are a couple of random 5s hanging out there right now, 4.5s as well. Would not surprise me at all if it's 4s across the board by the time we go up, although it would take a lot for those 5s to move now.
I just got 4.5. The total, what's the lowest total? There's a 66 out there. 66.5 across the board right now.
Yeah, it was a 69 yesterday. South Point was hanging 69 yesterday. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, although I will say that I made a pretty heartfelt case for the under on radio yesterday, and so I'm not surprised to see the number coming back down here. We'll get into it. I want your take on your numbers for this game before I go out. Here's what I
wanted to give you this. So the paper put together, as it turns out, 40 experts. I use that term lightly for myself. Guys like Johnny Avello, our own Clay Baker, great radio hockey voice, Brian Blessing. Koken's in there. Our buddy Patrick Everson from Covers. The Hammer! At Goldberg. Sportsbook directors like Jay Cornegay, Tony Miller, John Murray's in there, Brent Musburger. You ready for this? And we were playing, I think the number's based on 5 or 5.5 yesterday, because this poll with 40 responses was out yesterday. Straight up in the 40 plays. Clemson, 26 to 14. Wow. Could this number be any more wrong? Clemson's going to win straight up, 26 to 14 amongst the experts. Our buddy Matt Eumanns, Clemson 35-34. ATS, ready for this one? 85% Clemson. Clemson was picked against the spread 34-6. And then the total was split 23 said under, 17 said over. I am the squarest of the squares in this thing. I picked LSU to beat Clemson 45-24. I think they're going to freaking smoke him. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to make mistakes. And I believe Joe Burrow is one of those guys we're going to look back on and go, man, yeah, he may not turn out to be a great quarterback in the National Football League, but he's going to be like a generational, you know, decade type guy. He's just having one of those seasons. And LSU's on fire. And I know I'm playing against a storm the other way. Obviously, all these sharps are saying Clemson plus the points is the right way to go. And the number's backed up by Dabo Swinney in these spots. He's magical. We just talked about it earlier. Last, 11 of these bowl games, he's won 9 straight up. He's 10-1 against the spread. So am I crazy? Am I crazy for saying LSU rolls? Because there aren't many with me. The Hammer's with me. Hank Goldberg, I think he had him by, I don't know, I got to look at it. But I know Tony Miller had LSU by 12. The entire city seems to be on Clemson.
If it turns out that the sharps are right, then you are going to have some very, and I mean very, happy sportsbook directors, because this has been some of the most one-sided action that we've ever seen in the college football playoff. Everyone's on LSU.
Against a favorite. And by the way, the Hammer has 56-31. He has over and a 25-point margin.
So here's why I don't think it's going to be 56-31 or 45-24. Dabo Swinney is smart enough to know that he wins this game with defense and ball control. The only way you beat LSU, the only way you beat Joe Burrow, is to keep the ball out of his hands. No one has slowed them down all year long. Here's the stat that I think people miss when they talk about, well, you know, they haven't faced a defense like Clemson all year long. Well, LSU's played the fourth toughest schedule in the country. They faced 4 top 15 defenses, Georgia, Florida, Auburn, and Alabama this year. Combined, those teams have allowed 16 points per game. And against those 4 teams, LSU averaged 37 points. This offense is on another level, which is such a strange thing to say about an LSU program that has been based on defense for basically the last 20 years. I think this game comes down to, can Clemson control the ball with Travis Etienne? Can Trevor Lawrence complete short to mid-range passes? I don't think they want to take a lot of shots, because the more shots you take and the more second and third and longs you put yourself in, the better chance you give of having to put the ball back in LSU's hands, put the ball back in Joe Burrow's hands, and end up behind. I'm with you that LSU wins this game. I'm still on the under. I actually think I think this is going to be a strange result, because normally if I'm saying under, I'm probably thinking Clemson with that defense. I actually think this is LSU and the under.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
All right, Candy, you just said under, LSU wins. What's the score?
LSU 34, Clemson 27. I don't think this is a comfortable under by any stretch. These are two dynamic teams. Clemson has not played anyone other than Ohio State all year long, and we're acting like they beat up Ohio State. They got the benefit of a couple of calls that went their way, which I think were the right calls, but they went their way. And Justin Fields having his best receiver break the wrong direction on what would have been a touchdown to extend that game. So I don't think this LSU team is by any stretch bad. They're clearly the second best team in the country, but they are the second best team in the country. LSU has been transcendent all year long. And for anyone who wants to tell me about the LSU defense and say that the LSU defense hasn't been as good as it has been, I want you to look at something. In the first quarters of their games this year, LSU allowed, on average, 3 points. 10th in the country. In their fourth quarters, they were tied for 88th in the country with almost 8 points allowed per fourth quarter. The reason this defense looks so bad is they got it run up on them late. And because the offense had them so far in front, so early in games, that teams were chucking the ball against them from the second quarter on. LSU's a better team. This is a generational offense. They get Michael Divinity back on defense. I don't see where Clemson is able to match the firepower. I do think Clemson is able to slow this game down enough to at least keep it under.
You sent me something from one of the sports books in town, and you said you you wanted me to remind you about it. Does it matter now? This was from the Mirage Sportsbook. It was just a breakdown of the numbers. 67% of the point spread tickets on LSU, 56% of the money on LSU, 72% of total points money on the over. Why did that matter?
To emphasize the fact that squares like us who are picking LSU are in the overwhelming majority. This has been one of those strange things where, as weird as it is for LSU to have this offense, we all bought it real fast. We are buying the Burrow hype hook, line, and sinker because he has now shown it for 14 games this year. So Joe Burrow is everyone's favorite. Clemson? I get it. The Sharps like it because there's value on a team that's won 29 straight games getting more than a field goal. So, of course, what I don't understand is everybody's picking them straight up. I don't see what Clemson has shown you this year to suggest that they're going to win this game outright. I just haven't seen it. You're going on reputation, and you're going on an old thought that analytics have disproven over the last few years that defense still beats offense. It's not true. No more. You have to build from the offense and go forward, and LSU's done that this year.
Some of the numbers on the year, LSU, they're both unbeaten. So LSU, 9-4-1 against the spread, covered its last three games. That last game was a freaking romp over Oklahoma, 63-28. Could have been worse. Total of 69. Check that. Now it's 66.5. Clemson's gone under in three of its last four games. LSU has gone under in two of its past three. And as I've mentioned a million times now, last 11 bowl games and these sorts of games, four, Dabo Sweeney, he's 9-2. He's 10-1 against the spread. So you put your money where you want. We're both on LSU, and I'm on LSU big, but, hey, we're the outliers. Like I said, in the paper, 34-6, we're picking Clemson ATS. And 26-14, we're picking Clemson straight up. All right, NFL lines. I love Green Bay this week. +7.5. Do I have to jump on it now? It's not going up, right? Will it go past 7? Back to 6.5, 6?
No, I think you're going to see buyback at 7. I think that if you're going to get on Green Bay at 7.5, that's fine. I don't think it's going to 8. I don't see where you're getting that much love. But, I just don't see where you... I don't see where you're going to lose out on that. I'll tell you what, for me, I'm on the other side. As soon as I saw that we were over a touchdown on Tennessee, I jumped in quickly on the Titans.
Did you?
Quickly on 7.5 with the Titans. And I told you off air, and I'll say it now because I don't get to say this sort of thing very often, but futures-wise, at the very beginning of the playoffs, I grabbed Tennessee at 22-1 to win the AFC. Tannehill is undervalued.
Yeah.
Henry is undervalued. This team is the hot team at the right time. I'm a Giants fan. I've watched this. I watched a 9-7 team win the Super Bowl. And the Titans have that right now. Titans absolutely have what you need to win this whole thing. And I think that they are a dangerous matchup for the Chiefs with the way that they hold on to the ball.
I'm undecided on that one. But generally, I lean with dogs. Although this weekend, I didn't pick all dogs in the NFL. Did like the Packers. But I did like the Texans, so I had a 1-1 Sunday. I'd probably lean towards the Titans right now, but we'll see where that line finishes up. But there's 1-7 on the board, minus 120. The rest, all 7.5. So lots of minus 105s out there. All right, we got the national championship on the line. This is a good one. Interesting, you've got the likely number one pick in the NFL draft this year on one side, a quarterback in Joe Burrow. Well, imagine last year if you told someone that Joe Burrow is better than Trevor Lawrence. Because Trevor Lawrence love fest after the title game last year. Holy cow. And then he had a so-so season to start. He closed strong. And, of course, Lawrence is likely, unless there's a disaster, to be the number one pick in the draft next year. Game's on the way. You're home for the NCAA title game. Clemson and LSU in a matter of minutes.